This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB Monday Morning NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Gramling. I'm joined by Jenny Rentis of the Weekside Podcast. And anyone who's listened to the show in the past knows what we do in April. These will be the mock draft shows, a four-part extravaganza coming up here in which Jenny and I, and maybe Connor drops in at some point, but we sort of play general manager slash coach slash God, perhaps, for each of these teams. And go through draft needs and figure out what prospects might fit with each franchise here. Jenny, this is gonna be your first run on these. Are you feeling confident? Are you feeling nervous? What's going on here? Let's talk this out.
Well, you pre-warned me last night. You said that if I was going to rejoin the pod this week, that I would step into this vortex. So I had mentally prepared myself, Gary. So I don't feel quite as ready as Andy Benoit would, but, you know, at least I was advised to, you know, ready myself for this gauntlet.
Well, Andy never knew the prospects, so we can certainly run through the draft needs here, and I will reprise my role as prospect dork and assign players to these teams. And the way we do it is this is less a who we're predicting they will take and more a who we think they should take, who we advise them to take. So, I mean, you don't even need to look at draft grades or anything after the draft. You can just go back and see if they took the player that we said they should take and sort of judge your level of anger off of that. But the way we do this is eight teams per show, and we're just going to go through draft order. And when we get to teams that are coming up for a second time in the first round, we just don't count those against the eight. So we will end up doing all 32 teams, including the ones who don't have first round picks, and we will just sort of assign random day two dudes to those teams when we get there. But we are, of course, starting with the top eight, and we are going to have a lot of quarterbacks in this show. And Jacksonville Jaguars is where this draft begins. it's pretty much done. They're taking Trevor Lawrence, and we're going to come up on the Jaguars again later in the first round. But I guess we can kind of talk about what do you expect of Trevor Lawrence in year one at this point, getting dropped into certainly what was a bad team last year, but you get a new coaching staff. They made a lot of signings in free agency. We'll see if they work out or not. But it seems like it's a little more stable there than it's been in the past.
Yeah, I think that is the ultimate question. Now we know they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. Urban Meyer essentially admitted it to Peter King last week. So they're not even playing along with the charade, which is honestly somewhat refreshing, Gary. But now the question becomes, how ready can they get Lawrence to play? Will they be able to build a successful, you know, team around him and system around him? And will it work out? And there are so many expectations for Lawrence. Evaluators have been waiting for him to arrive in the NFL since he was a true freshman. So now that he's here, now he's in this situation that there does seem to be a lot of optimism. You know, people in Jacksonville think Urban Meyer is involved with, you know, details on everything in the organization. They think that's a good thing. They think that there's a lot of hope for a better direction, but it's still a experiment for the Jaguars. They're still going the successful college coach turned NFL coach route. And I think there is a lot of unknown with that as well. So after they get Lawrence, what other players will they be able to get in the draft to help him succeed, not just this year, but in the years to come?
Yeah, successful college coach who, not to overstate it, but didn't coach the last couple of years. So we'll see what Urban Meyer's, what his offense might look like in the NFL, since you're not going to go one-to-one with what you ran at Ohio State. But it's going to be interesting. Trevor Lawrence is a guy who, schematically, you can do pretty much whatever you want. If you want to run a bunch of QB power like they do with Cam, you can do that with Trevor Lawrence. If you want to run quick game, you can do that. If you want to run you know, something a little more McVay Shanahan-y, you can do that. I mean, you have so many options with what you can build and how you can build it around Trevor Lawrence at this point. And it is. He's a no-brainer number one overall pick. It is, you know, you can go back to Andrew Luck as the last sort of, you know, surefire as they get quarterback prospect coming into the league. So, you know, this is the Jaguars' reward for going 1-15, because we reward teams for going 1-15 in the NFL. Is how they do it these days. And they're going to have Trevor Lawrence on a super cheap contract for 3 years, and they have a chance to build something down there.
Yeah, and I guess you mentioned we'll get to them again, you know, later on in the first round. So they have a lot of places to add players around Lawrence to continue to build with him. But they do still, I mean, they did make some good additions in free agency, but they do still have a lot of needs. You know, they could certainly stand to take a tackle, another receiver, another tight end. So they're definitely offensive players that it would make sense to continue to put around Lawrence.
Yeah, could use a tackle. Marvin Jones is a nice complement to DJ Shark, but maybe you want someone a little younger in that number two receiver spot. But we'll see how it goes. So in our mock draft, we are officially giving the Jacksonville Jaguars Trevor Lawrence, and that that drama is now gone. Number two, the New York Jets. This is probably going to be another spot where a quarterback is going. I don't know where you stand on this, Jenny. I think if you're in doubt with your quarterback going into year four here, and you have a chance to sort of hit reset on the rookie contract and bring in a new guy, and not to mention it's a new coaching staff coming in here, I think you'd do it. I'm not giving up on Sam Darnold, but I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to hang on to him, and you know, unless you were really down on the other three or four first-round prospects here at quarterback.
Yeah, I agree, but I will say that they need to learn the lessons from what happened with Darnold and why things didn't go right. Because if you remember back to the year that Darnold was drafted, he was thought to have been the safest prospect, maybe not the highest ceiling, but people thought he had the highest floor among the first round quarterbacks drafted. So what went wrong for them to be in this position again, where they're taking a first round quarterback? But that's clearly their intention. You know, obviously when the 49ers traded up, they went to the three spot because the Jets didn't want to budge from two, which indicates they are taking a quarterback. So, you know, they have a, they signed Corey Davis in free agency. Is that the answer at receiver? I'm not so sure. But that's one piece that Darnold was really lacking in the last few years. There wasn't a strong receiving core. They had to do a rebuild of the offensive line. So, you know, Joe Douglas is certainly wasn't here for most of Darnold's tenure, so that doesn't fall on him. But you also need to look back at what went wrong, how the roster got to this point, and how you're not going to let it happen with the quarterback that you do take.
Yeah, there were just a lot of things that didn't work out roster-wise, obviously didn't work out coaching-wise during the last couple years here in New York. Mike LaFleur is in here as the new offensive coordinator. He obviously comes over from San Francisco with Robert Saleh, so you're going to see that that Shanahan-style offense here, which obviously it's quarterback-friendly. I mean, you've seen a lot of guys across the league in these systems be quite productive here. And I'll say this, and we brought it up on this podcast the last couple of times, we're way early on 2022, but you know, the 2022 quarterback class doesn't look great. It doesn't look like there will be any sort of veteran free agent type guys available for teams searching for a quarterback. So these three guys seem like they are going to be, and three guys I'm right now referencing, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields. And you could throw Mac Jones in there, who I'm sure will come up later in the show or this series. But if you are thinking you are going to need a quarterback in the next 2 years, it's almost like if you have a chance for one of these guys, it's really hard to pass up on them at this point. So Zach Wilson is the guy everyone's kind of penciling in here. The three between Wilson, Fields, and Lance are all really tricky evaluations. Wilson's kind of a one-year wonder. Lance, obviously, we know, you know, not only coming up from an FCS school, but only played in one game last year. He's also a one-year starter, essentially. And Justin Fields, I have some reservations about the offense he ran at Ohio State. I don't think it did him a ton of favors, but it probably also, well, possibly also prepared him better for the NFL. But Zach Wilson seems like he's the guy at this spot. And I just wanted to highlight one thing on Zach Wilson that I find fascinating is big-time arm talent. And when you see guys like, you know, Josh Allen is the one who sort of stands out. You know, obviously you throw Mahomes in there. You know, any of these guys with just these monster arms. When you see these guys get their feet set, and just uncork a throw. I mean, it's, you know, even going back to Wyoming, some of these fastballs Josh Allen delivers are, it's almost like an audible gasp when he throws it. It is just another class of arm talent. As far as Zach Wilson goes, when his feet are set, you almost don't see those kinds of throws. It's not a he's not underarm by any stretch of the imagination. He just, you know, he doesn't throw that, I don't know, 120 mile an hour fastball that some of these other guys do. But when Wilson has to move and throws these sort of off platform, sort of strange body contortion type of throws, it's almost like he doesn't lose anything on those. Like, he can throw those just as easily as he can throw, you know, the ball with his feet set, which is just a really, you know, really strange combination of strengths here. And, you know, obviously he ran that offense well when he just had to run it on time last year. But it seems like he is the number two guy in this draft. And, you know, it certainly, he'll fit what they want to do here in New York under Mike LaFleur.
Yeah, that's a really interesting observation. And I think that is a very important trait to have in today's NFL, right? To be able to make throws from different arm angles, to make off-balance throws. You know, there's always this collective awe when Patrick Mahomes does these things, and he certainly has a unique ability to do it. But you basically do have to do a lot of things off schedule, and you have to sort of make plays happen where it doesn't seem like a play could happen. And so if he has that ability, that would be a trait that would be hard to pass up on.
So we will go to the 49ers now with the Jets taking Zach Wilson. And 49ers obviously coming up for a quarterback here. They traded up from the 12th spot with the Dolphins, and then the Dolphins jump back up into the top six. But the 49ers have a very interesting choice here at quarterback. Everyone wants to see who Kyle Shanahan is going to take as sort of this quarterback guru here. And The options he has are, again, just really interesting. Kyle Shanahan wants quarterbacks who play quick, who make quick decisions, who don't play out of structure a whole lot. If you are looking at the three remaining first-round quarterbacks here, I know a lot of people want to pencil Mac Jones in here. Mac Jones stylistically fits what Kyle Shanahan does. Justin Fields, I think, potentially can fit in here, but the one criticism of Fields, and I think this might be a result of the number of option routes they run in Ohio State that sort of has him holding onto the ball longer. But if you were looking at Justin Fields' tape, I don't know if he automatically is someone you would pencil in as sort of a surefire Kyle Shanahan type of quarterback. And then you have Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance is the best fit here. They've said they want Jimmy Garoppolo to start at least at the beginning of 2021, and we'll see how it goes. But to me, it comes down to Trey Lance or Mac Jones, if indeed Zach Wilson goes too. And I don't know. We had the discussion with Albert Breer last week about what constitutes sort of a high-floor quarterback prospect in 2021, and it's not what it used to be, where you sort of look at a guy and say, like, oh, he's productive, and he's a good game manager type guy. It's almost the guys who can do a lot of different things, the guys who have movement skills, where, you know, if they don't work out in your sort of traditional offense, you can do things with them other than what you would normally do. And I think Lance falls into that category. I do not think Mac Jones does. I just don't. I find it hard to believe that the 49ers would come all the way up to three to get Mac Jones at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they could come up to three. They obviously, there is a quarterback that they could get three that they like. So somebody beyond Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson that they would like in the three spots. And I think your reasoning makes a lot of sense. The fact that Garoppolo is still on the roster, and I guess, look, things could change, who knows, but it, in theory, if he stays on the roster and starts some games in 2021, as has been what the team has indicated, then you don't have to play the rookie quarterback right away, which generally is the right way to go. That often works out best for the quarterbacks if they can learn a little bit and then come in later. And so I think because of that reasoning, then you could go with a Trey Lance or somebody that you would want to have a little bit of time to make that leap to the NFL, coming from, you know, North Dakota State, for instance. So I think I would agree with you, Gary. And I think your explanation, too, of wanting a quarterback with different skill sets is so important. And I think over the last few years, perhaps that's led to some of the misses on quarterbacks, because what you're looking for has been morphing and teams haven't been quite sure how to adjust to that, or how to evaluate that, and how to place a different importance on skill sets that are becoming more critical to succeeding at the NFL level.
Yeah, our buddy Greg Bishop had done a piece on Josh Allen back in, it was September, October last year, but he was talking to Jordan Palmer, who, you know, is sort of the quarterback coach out in California, who works with a lot of these guys. But Palmer made a comment along the lines of, this is not a direct quote, but it was something like, you know, Josh Rosen might be the last guy we see go in the first round who doesn't have movement skills as a major strength. It's just where the game is going at this point. And I would put Mac Jones in that class as sort of a guy who has, he's a solid athlete. He's certainly not a guy you're going to build around his movement skills, though, when it comes to building your offense. And I think that's enough of a limitation to sort of take him out of this, top five draft pick conversation here, as productive and as good as he was, and frankly, he was better than Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama last year, and you've heard that from some of the Alabama receivers at this point. But he's going to come up a couple of times in these shows, I believe, and maybe as soon as number four to the Falcons, but probably not number four to the Falcons. So we're giving Trey Lance to the 49ers. And actually, one more thing I wanted to bring up with the 49ers is the Garoppolo factor here. And, you know, there's a report this past weekend that they want a first-round pick for Garoppolo, and everyone sort of got to do their guffaws and whatever else and point and laugh. But I mentioned earlier, and I mentioned a couple times on the show, not a great quarterback class coming up in 2022. If they play Garoppolo this year and they get the kind of season they thought they were going to be getting out of Garoppolo the last 2 years, if, you know, he stays healthy and on the field and just sort of has a solid quality season here, a year from now, when he's, you know, he'll be final year of that deal, it's non-guaranteed, he does not make a whole lot of money for a starting quarterback in NFL at this point, you know, it would be mid-20s is what you're looking at for a cap hit. He could absolutely have a big market after the season. It's certainly not a guarantee, and if he plays like he did last season, he will not have a big market, and they'll just move on from him, but there's no reason to just write off Jimmy Garoppolo as a completely wasted asset at this point. He is a guy who they can trade next offseason.
That's a good point, Gary.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
The Atlanta Falcons at 4. This is another one. Do they take the quarterback or do they not take the quarterback? And I guess they're just, they're one of those organizations. I don't think Matt Ryan is done, but they're probably looking at this and sort of telling themselves, we're never going to pick this high again, ever. So what do we do here? Last time they were up this high, they took Matt Ryan. Here they are 12 years later, or 13 years later, and they have a chance to get their next quarterback.
Yeah, this is a really interesting spot, Gary, because what you said, looking forward, you know, we know that teams consider the next draft class as they make their plans for the current one. So the point you made about maybe the 2022 draft class doesn't look as good for quarterbacks, although we know guys can come out of nowhere and change things. But if they're considering that and you're saying, hey, we're at four, we're at a prime place to get a quarterback, but at the same time they just restructured Matt Ryan's contract, so now he has dead cap hits that are over $40 million each of the next two seasons, so it indicates that they're planning to stick with him. So do you take the quarterback at four, given that you have indicated that you're wanting to stick with him, or do you take, you know, a top weapon for Ryan or some other area of the roster where you have a need? So this is going to be a really interesting question, and we'll sort of answer how they feel about Ryan.
This is, and Albert Breer mentioned on last week's show, they've had all their main decision makers, Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, at all of these pro days for the quarterbacks, and that would sort of signal to you like, oh, they're interested, but they also could be making people think that they're interested, so they come up and make a big offer for the number four pick for the fourth of these sort of big four quarterbacks available this year. So you could see it either way. When you look at the rest of the roster, it's just really interesting with the Falcons, because we've said for like 3 years every time around the draft, like boy, they just need more talent on this defense. They need more, especially as far as edge rushers go. You know, Dan Quinn running that sort of Seahawks-style cover three defense for all those years, they just weren't talented enough to make it work. And now you have, Quinn is obviously out, Arthur Smith is the head coach, Dean Pease is in as the defense coordinator. Dean Pease is a guy who can manufacture a pass rush without sort of top talent here, so you might sort of cross edge rusher off of this list of at least urgent needs. I mean, you always want to be good at that position, but I don't think it's the kind of need it has been for the last couple of years for the Falcons here. I think the bigger needs, if you're looking at this offense, you're probably looking at offensive tackle at this point. And obviously you have a really good offensive line class, and you have two top 10 prospects in a Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater in this class who you could take. And, you know, you have not only a top pass protector, but we know in this Arthur Smith offense, you want to do a lot of wide zone running, and those are guys who are, you know, athletic left tackle types who can get out there and really be a big part of your rushing offense here. So I think offensive tackle makes a lot of sense. Quarterback, certainly, if you're thinking, you know, we've got maybe 2 years left with Matt Ryan, if you're being pessimistic, and maybe we just get the next guy now. And like I said with Garoppolo, if they want to deal Matt Ryan, there's going to be a market for Matt Ryan this upcoming offseason.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different directions. And I think this is clearly where the draft starts. I mean, you can pencil in quarterback for the top three picks, and you're starting at four, and you have no idea which way they're going to go. They could go quarterback. They could go any number of positions. So I think that the Falcons are a really intriguing slot. And that's added to that is the fact that they do have this new regime, so you don't really have any tendencies to go on.
What should we do, Jenny? I think we're looking at Justin Fields, or we're looking at one of the offensive tackles. Probably Penei Sewell. I think he's really ideal for what Arthur Smith does with his run game here.
Let's go offensive tackle, Gary.
All right, Penei Sewell from Oregon to the Falcons.
Big blow for the Bengals.
It's always just being the Bengals is sometimes a big blow. But we are to the Bengals at five. And obviously quarterback is not a need here in any way, shape, or form. We'll see if, you know, if Justin Fields is still on the board, do they end up trading out of this spot? But we are, of course, locked in, and we are not doing trade downs in this mock draft exercise, as we call it. But Bengals, they need offensive line help. They need probably receiver help, and there are a ton of receivers available. And if you're not looking receiver, you are looking Rashawn Slater here. But as far as receivers go, you could take Ja'Marr Chase, who's the top receiver in this class, and reunite him with Joe Burrow, and that is... I don't know. It's always a feel good storyline if you're the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, if Sewell is not on the board, I could very easily see them trading down and then getting an offensive lineman wherever they trade down to, because there will be a lot of teams that may want to come up for a quarterback. But we're not doing trades, Gary, so that eliminates that option here.
Yeah. The other thing with this receiver class is, we've said this. This will be the second straight year where we're just saying, like, wow, this is a historic receiver class coming out. And you saw how it affected free agency this year, where a lot of these receivers, you know, whether it be Juju Smith-Schuster or guys like that who were expecting to get big deals, just didn't get big contracts here. So it's almost like receiver is such an important position. You know, we always... We don't do it because it's just boring at this point. But the running back conversation about how it's just not a high value position, and you know, you can plug anyone in there. You can't necessarily do that with receiver, but there's just so many talented receivers coming into the league and so many available, whether it be via draft or free agency. It's almost like that has just flooded the market and devalued the position overall. So if you're the Bengals, are you just saying, like, well, we can, you know, we got T. Higgins in the early second last year, so why don't we just do that again instead of taking Ja'Marr Chase here? Even though, again, Ja'Marr Chase would be neat to see with Joe Burrow once again.
Yeah, it would be neat to reunite them. And yeah, there's a lot of teams in the top 10 that have a receiver need. I just think that for the Bengals, the line need is so glaring because of what happened to Burrow last year. You know, obviously he has a season-ending ACL tear and just constantly under pressure. So it's hard to see them not going offensive line.
All right. Jenny has banged the table here, and we are going to give Rashawn Slater the Northwestern offensive tackle. That'll be there. If this is how it plays out, it'll be interesting to see how they sort out him and Jonah Williams. Riley Reiff is there as well as sort of a stopgap type solution there in Cincinnati. But there we go. Two tackles off the board. Justin Fields still on the board as we get to the Dolphins. Though with the Dolphins trading out of three, you would think they kind of, you know, resign themselves to not taking a quarterback, and they have said publicly Tua is their guy.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to come up to six and they could get more picks and move down, could totally see that happening. Because if the Dolphins are going to take a receiver, back to your earlier point, Gary, there are a lot of receivers. So you make that swap, somebody wants to come up to get Fields, you move down, you still get a good receiver. Maybe you have three guys you like at the receiver position, and you figure, well, we'll still be able to get who we want if we move down. Then, you know, I don't know. This seems to be their thing, just amassing draft picks. So it's hard to rule that option out.
Yeah, it's interesting because I would say there's a big three with the receivers here. I think Ja'Marr Chase is clearly number one, but you would put, I think Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle, the two Alabama guys, are both the, you know, I think they both would have gone above any of the receivers taken last year. So you have three really good receivers. I just find it really interesting, and it's overblown, but Jaylen Waddle and Devontae Smith both reportedly said that they prefer Mac Jones over Tua Tagovailoa, and so there's this whole, like, you know, I don't know, 2 months ago there was all this, like, oh, you gotta get him Devontae Smith, gotta get him Jaylen Waddle, he knows him from college, you know, get him comfortable type of thing, and to bring in one of those guys after they're like, yeah, I think Mac Jones is better, is kind of, I don't know, that would be an awkward conversation, I guess. They weren't necessarily bashing Tua, and obviously they have reason to pump up their their teammate Mac Jones, who is going into the draft and still sort of trying to find his place in the NFL, whereas Tua is kind of established in Miami as far as we know at this point. But I would think be an awkward conversation.
So what you're trying to say, Gary, is you want to go Ja'Marr Chase at the spot for the Dolphins.
I think Ja'Marr Chase is just better than the other two guys. Not significantly so, but I find it difficult to justify taking either guy over him. And I think that the Mac Jones is better comments kind of clinches that for me.
There you go. I like it. It's the best decision for a lot of reasons.
All right, Ja'Marr Chase, LSU quarterback, LSU wide receiver to the Dolphins for Tua Tagovailoa, and that'll be nice there. I think Will Fuller was a nice addition to that receiving core this offseason, but I don't know if he's a long-term guy, and everyone plays three receivers at this point anyway, so Ja'Marr Chase to Miami, which brings us to the seventh pick, and the Detroit Lions, who are really just a bit of a blank canvas here at this point. I would not rule out quarterback with the Lions if, in our scenario here, Justin Fields has fallen to them. But, I mean, you just look up and down this roster. They kind of need everything when it comes down to it.
Yeah, they have, as you said, blank slate is just kind of the best way to describe it. They have a lot of rebuilding to do, and I think they realize that and know that it's going to take a while to get this roster where they need it to be. It's just really hard to overlook the glaring need at receiver. And, you know, I think you have Jared Goff. They would be interested in seeing, well, can they make it work with Goff? They also have this somewhat intriguing backup, Tim Boyle, who beat Love out to be Rodgers' backup last year. So I think they go receiver here. And I think they see what they have with Goff. And as you've said, there's a lot of receivers to choose from.
I think that makes a lot of sense. The one thing that's really interesting to me is Brad Holmes is obviously the new general manager there. And they do have glaring needs in the defensive secondary. But I wonder, one year after the old regime just took Jeff Okuda, who did struggle as a rookie, I wonder if they just have the stomach to take a Caleb Farley or Patrick Surtain the second or someone like that and go cornerback back-to-back years. Or does that just not affect them because they're just saying we're the new guys? But if you're looking at the receiver class, I like Jalen Waddle better than Devontae Smith. However, I think Devontae Smith is a better fit with Jared Goff and Goff with what he does stylistically in this, in what's going to be a new look offense here for the Lions. So I would like Devontae Smith in this spot. I don't know if there's anything you can do to stop me here, Jenny, but.
That's, go for it, Gary. I trust your judgment.
That's where I'm going here. Devontae Smith to the Lions, who again just it's a full on rebuild going on right now in Detroit, and they could go a number of ways here. And that brings us to the final pick of our first installment of the mock draft series, and that is the Carolina Panthers, who last year spent the entire draft on defensive picks. This year, you figure they're going heavy on offense. And by the way, if you hadn't noticed at this point, much, much stronger class on the offensive side of the ball than on the defensive side of the ball here. But the Panthers have been looking for a quarterback. They are, some might say, just desperately looking for a quarterback at this point. I think they're okay to live with Teddy Bridgewater for another year, but in this scenario, you have so many question marks around what Deshaun Watson's situation is going to be in 2021. They want a new quarterback. If Justin Fields is there, it feels like it makes a ton of sense. If they decided not to go with Fields, you are, I think you're just desperate to get help on the offensive line. But, of course, in our exercise at this point, you have basically lost the top two offensive linemen off the board. Slater and Sewell are already gone. And the other option is Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end. If you wanted to get even more athletic and dangerous with your pass-catching group here, although obviously that receiving group is a strength for Carolina at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right, Gary. They've been desperate in the quarterback market. I don't think there will be any clarity with the Watson situation in the next month. And I think it makes sense to take a quarterback this year. As you said, they could live with Bridgewater, but if they're sitting at eight, or even if they want to move up for Fields, for instance, as we discuss other trade options to potentially move up, I think that is their pick.
Yeah, Justin Fields going to Carolina here. It'd be really interesting in the scenario if Fields is off the board and they're looking at Mac Jones. This is one of the spots where I think it's kind of a danger spot for Mac Jones, just because he's not a guy who creates his own time and space as well as some of these other young quarterbacks in the league. So if you plug him in there behind what's not a great offensive line, I think you're asking for trouble there. Of course, they could always just play Bridgewater for the first part of 2021, or perhaps all of 2021, and figure it out later. But I think quarterback is probably the answer here if the two tackles are not available for the Panthers. And that's it. That's our top eight. Our top eight is penciled in here. And we have lots of mock draft to go over the rest of the month. And I don't know, this is just going to be a really interesting draft. Like you said, Jenny, once you get to four and the way the rest of this first round unfolds.
Yeah, I feel like I really messed things up, Gary. I don't know what your plan at four had been before I piped up and said not to go quarterback. But I think it is instructive because it is, I always use this word, but it really is like a choose your own adventure from that point. And once you make one decision, then all the others follow from there. And there are just so many options at four for Atlanta.
If Justin Fields becomes a star, you will never be the fake general manager of the Falcons.
Right. That's true. That's true.
It. Never
I've
live it down.
I've disqualified myself.
All right, that'll do it. We'll be back next week with picks 9 through 16. And like I said, we're going to hit all 32 teams as we always do, just to go over the draft needs. That's part of the exercise. Jenny, we'll talk to you next week. Maybe Connor Orr comes and chimes in and we get more cooks in the kitchen and this whole thing just becomes a total mess.
Looking forward to it, Gary.
The MMQB Monday Morning NFL Podcast is Jenny Prentiss and me, Gary Gremling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB, and Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed as well as the feeds for the Weekside Podcast and the Albert Breer Show. They're all for free on Apple Podcasts. And once you do, leave a rating and review for all of them. It really does help other people find the shows, which are also available on Spotify, Radio.com, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.